So anniversary weekend is one of those times where you can look back and look ahead. We can look back on what God has done over 33 years in the life of this church family, and we celebrate that. We celebrate the many stories of baptism and faith decisions and marriages reconciled and relationships healed and community impact and all of those things that make up a part of our story. We're thankful for that. And we celebrate the fact that God is still writing a story through our church family today. Many of you serve in many different ways to make this church continue to reach out to people that may be far from God and to raise up fully devoted followers of Christ. And so we're thankful for that. An anniversary is one of those weekends where we can stop and just think about the time that God has given us. And if you're new to us this morning, you're joining us in the middle of a series. We've been in a series called Wired for Greatness. And in this series, over the past 4 weeks, and this is the fifth week of the series, we've talked about the fact that God designed you for greatness. But there's two underlying principles that have undergirded this whole series. The first one is that really this is an issue of stewardship, the opportunity to carefully manage and care for the things that God has entrusted to our care. And so stewardship is all about how we use our gifts and how we use our time and how we use our relationships, our bodies, our life stories, how we use all of that. And then the other undergirding principle is, well, what is greatness? You know, the world has a definition of greatness that's all about you and I growing in prominence, us getting more attention. And yet, biblically, greatness is about something different. Biblically, greatness is about positioning ourselves to point people toward a great God. In other words, giving ourselves away, giving our time away, our gifts away, giving everything away in order to point people towards a great God. That's the biblical definition of greatness. And so here we sit on anniversary weekend, thinking back on what God has done. And God has done amazing things, and we think God has more amazing things in store. And this week of the series, we're talking about stewardship of time. We talked about gifts last week. We'll talk about money and possessions next week. But this week, we're talking about time. How do you use your time? I've got to be honest with you. If this were a recovery meeting, I'd be introducing myself, raising my hand, saying, "My name is Kyle, and I am a procrastinator." And you all would say, "Welcome, Kyle." How many of y'all can relate to me? How many would admit that you're fellow procrastinators? How many of you are just taking your time to raise your hand because you're procrastinating right now? Some of you are. You know what it's like. Like, you think that you've just got all the time in the world. The work expands to the time allotted for it. Some of you are nodding your heads. I've got to tell you, our family hit a milestone this year. We have one son that entered high school, Malik, and one that started middle school, Matthew. And it just seems like since high school has started, it's almost like someone started a stopwatch, like the countdown is on. And I just sense that our time to shape what's going on in Malik's life is just rapidly decreasing. You know, I'd like to think that I'll always be the main input in his life. I'll always be his main mentor, his main advisor and counselor. But I know the reality is he's going to grow up. He's going to be a man on his own. He's going to form his own network of relationships. And there may be times where dad's voice is not as prominent in his life. I'm keenly aware, because I talked to some of you who have gone through this stage, that this time is going to fly by. I think many of us, we approach life like this window. There's a window of opportunity, right? We had this window of opportunity to pour into the lives of the boys. And yet some of you say, "Kyle, this high school period is going to fly by. It's going to go like that." And so some of us, we try and act like these opportunities just kind of gradually close. And one day, you know, the door may be shut and we got all the time in the world. But the reality is, for many situations in life, the window is more like this. It rapidly closes. And so I don't know about you, but I struggle sometimes managing time. And yet, I think about it in the life of the church, when it comes to kingdom stuff, there are some times where we need to be good stewards of time. Now, we could talk about time from several perspectives. We could talk about it from the perspective of timing, right? It's appropriate now. I've got this baseball. The Tigers started the playoffs last night, and they won. Yeah, Tigers fans that are here. I know some of you are. You probably didn't notice about me, but I'm a Yankees fan, actually. But If the Yankees played the Tigers, I would root for the right team. But you know, if you were playing baseball, if you want to hit a 95 mile an hour fastball, it takes timing, right? It's a matter of getting that bat in the right place at the right time. I remember in track in high school when I ran track and field, I did not like running relays, but I remember when I did have to run some relays, it was all about timing and that baton exchange. The runner that was approaching the exchange zone would have to yell back or go first. That's what it was, go. And then at some point, hand, oh, he said hand or back. And then the stick had to be there. That exchange was important. Many relays have been lost because of bad timing. Even some of you, you're big NASCAR fans, and you know that when you get into the pit crew, timing is critical. You can lose your spot in the race if you don't have the right timing in that pit crew. So we can talk about time from the point of view of looking back. We can talk about it from the point of view of looking ahead. We can talk about timing, being in the right place at the right time. So I know I struggle with time management. I don't know about you. Some of you, you look at that window illustration and you think, man, I could look back on that with some regret. I thought I had a great window of opportunity in my last marriage, you might say. And I thought that I'd have all this time to kind of fix things, but it was more like it slammed shut. Or you look back on the job that you were let go of and you say, oh, if I could do it over again, I would have leveraged the time even better. Or you look back on the parenting journey and you think, man, that window just slammed shut. If I could do it over again, I would have done some things differently. Let's look at what the Word of God has to say. As we get to this story of blind Bartimaeus, and there's some principles about time in here that I think are appropriate for our anniversary weekend, appropriate for our lives today. You know, we read verse 46, then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. You just need to know that in the book of Mark, if you read Mark, Mark was not one of the original 12 disciples. He was not an eyewitness to what Jesus had done. He was a traveling companion of Peter. He was Peter's writer. He tried faithfully to write down everything that Peter recorded about the times with Jesus. And when you read Mark, it's almost like you're watching SportsCenter highlights. Like Mark has this habit of jumping from one scene to the next scene. Even if you start the book of Mark, you'll see that he uses the word immediately or at once often. So it tells us about Jesus's baptism. And then he says, immediately the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan. And then he tells about Jesus calling the first disciples. He approached them when they were fishing, and immediately they dropped their nets. Or your translation may say, at once they dropped their nets to follow him. He went ahead further on the road. He met James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and he asked them to follow him, and at once they stopped to follow him. And everywhere you look through Mark, you find these at once, without delay, immediately. And so even here, when we get to 10, verse 46, Mark, in typical style, tells us they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, Mark doesn't even tell us what they did in the city. He just, boom, boom, they got there, and then a short while later, they were leaving. And as they were leaving, there was a large crowd with them. And then there was this guy, Bartimaeus, sitting on the side of the road, begging. It reminds me of the first time I went out to Las Vegas on a business trip back when I worked for General Motors. And before we even got into the city, we got off the first exit to go into the city, and there was a guy there begging with a sign. But you got the sense, and maybe his sign even said it, I can't remember the wording, you got the sense that he had gone to Vegas, lost all of his money, and was either looking for money to get home or money to go back into the casinos. But he was there, and he was begging. Blind Bartimaeus was here begging. But what we can learn from Bartimaeus is that regardless of his background, regardless of his story, which we don't know much of his story, Bartimaeus tells us that we have to sense when it's time to act. Bartimaeus knew that this was a window of opportunity to talk to Jesus. We don't know how he found out that Jesus was coming. We don't know if the word had spread throughout the city for days. We don't know what his story was. We don't know how popular he was, how famous he was as a beggar in that city. We just know that he heard that Jesus was coming, and he saw that it was time to seize the opportunity. He wasn't going to let anything distract him or deter him. He shouts, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. and they tell them, shh, be quiet, be quiet. You can almost get the picture of like one of the presidential candidates coming through the scene, and there's a big security entourage and people trying to clear the path and someone shouting at the top of their lungs. And Bartimaeus would not be quiet. He kept shouting and shouting, and the reason he kept shouting was because he knew it was time to seize the opportunity. Some of us in our lives, God presents these opportunities to do something. He's nudging us or sometimes trying to hit us with a spiritual 2x4, and we don't sense it. We're not prepared. We don't act. You've heard the expression that success is when preparation meets opportunity. Bartimaeus had this opportunity to encounter Jesus personally, and when the opportunity was presented, he was prepared. He sensed that it was time to act. What about you? What opportunities is God nudging you about today? You know, what is he messing with you about? Where if you don't move, you'll actually be disobedient. You know he's tugging at your heart. See, what opportunities are you procrastinating on? I know some of you are looking at your notes and you're thinking, he skipped the first blank. Well, the first blank is simply this: time is a limited resource. The window closes one way or another. And Bartimaeus knew that this particular time, there was going to be this time to act, to talk to his Savior, the one that could heal him. But Jesus, once he left Jericho, that opportunity would have come to an end. Time is limited. We can act like we've got all the time in the world to pour into the lives of our kids, to shape our families, to shape our communities. We can act like God's got KCC here for another 33 years or another 100 years. But the reality is we don't know. The time is now to use the gifts that God has given us, to use the resources that God has given us, to proclaim his name to the world and not act like we've just got all the time in the world. Bartimaeus knew when it was time to act on the opportunity that had come his way. What about you? Are you sensitive to those times where Jesus is available to do something and all you've got to do is just ask? And so we learn from Bartimaeus that we've got to be prepared. We've got to sense the time to act. The other thing we learn from Bartimaeus, just looking at these first verses, is that Bartimaeus understood a sense of history. Sometimes understanding timing is all about understanding where things fit into the big story. Bartimaeus, by addressing Jesus as Son of David, indicated he had a good sense of where Jesus stood in history. Son of David, by invoking the name David. David was a great king of the people of Israel. David was the man after God's own heart. David, yes, the one that killed Goliath. David had a lot of respect amongst the people, and everyone knew the Messiah would come from the line of David. Bartimaeus had a view of history, and he understood where the Messiah fit. So sometimes as we think about timing, we've got to understand where we fit into the big story, into the big picture of history. Bartimaeus knew that when Jesus came, it was time to act. Now, I like what Jesus did in verse 49. Jesus stopped and said, call him. And so they called to the blind man, cheer up on your feet. He's calling you. Those two words, Jesus stopped. I just think about how busy our lives are and how most of us, we don't plan our time well. And so because of that, we're not able to just stop and serve people sometimes. When we plan our time well, though, we're able to stop. We're able to serve. We're able to benefit others like Jesus did. Jesus stopped. Those two words are powerful words in my life. I think about Jesus hanging out in heaven, and he stopped and gave up his heavenly riches to come to earth to live this life, to experience the temptations that we experience, to ultimately suffer and die on a cross and be risen again on my behalf and on your behalf. Jesus stopped. He stopped what he was doing. He stopped claiming all the authority that he could have claimed in order to walk in human flesh and experience what you and I experience on a daily basis. And in your lives, I'm sure if you look over the last week, you can see times where Jesus stopped and spoke to you, maybe through your quiet time in the Bible, maybe through a conversation with someone else, where things just, it almost seemed like time just stopped for a moment for Christ to speak into your life. And if you can't think of times where it seems like God has done that, I want to challenge you. What is it that keeps you so busy that for those of you that say, oh, I would love to spend more time in the Word, Pastor. Oh, I would love to spend more time having conversations about Christ. I would love to spend more time doing kingdom work. What is it that keeps you from doing that? Could it be poor stewardship of time? Because I want to challenge you that if we plan our time well, if we think of it as a limited resource, that all of us get the same amount of time each day, but we can't add any more to it, we can't take any away, it just passes. You can't grow it, it just passes. But when you think about it from that perspective, what is it that keeps you from utilizing it in the best possible way? There's a movie that came out last fall. I'm not endorsing the movie. I didn't even see the movie yet. And I don't know if I will see it, but the trailer, I like the premise of the trailer. It's a movie called End Time with a popular guy named Justin Timberlake. And the whole premise of the movie is that people are given a limited amount of time, and they know how much time they have left based on a little countdown clock that's on their forearm. And when that time runs out, that's it. Your life is over. In other words, every day you would walk along keenly aware of how much time you have left. And in the movie, I guess part of the plot is people are trying to steal more time or gain more time in different ways. And so there's an underworld that kind of are the keepers of the time. And it's an interesting plot line. But I think about how does that impact us? All of us have a limited amount of time that's left. And some of you, you'll be those seasoned saints that live to be 101 years old, like the funeral we had here this week for Bernice Hansen. And some of you, you'll check out of here sooner. But for whatever time you have left, how well do you plan it? How well do you manage it? Because you can't do everything, because there's a limited amount of time. And then we look at Jesus when he called him to come over. In verse 50, it says, Bartimaeus, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. His priorities were clear. I'm coming to you not for a bunch of other stuff. I just want to see, and I know you can make it happen. See, when we plan our time well, we can prioritize and pursue whatever plans God has laid on our hearts. Do you know what your priorities are? You might say, well, wait a second. Are you telling me that Jesus walked around with a Franklin planner or his Mac calendar and he kind of mapped out his time to say, okay, I'm going to make time today for the blind man and make time today for the leper? No, Jesus didn't have a planner like that because Jesus was so in tune with his heavenly Father that he was on kingdom time. That whatever the priorities were from the Father, that's what the priorities were for Jesus. And that's the way it ought to be for us. Do you plan your time in such a way that there's time to even listen to God, to be on a kingdom agenda, whatever God may have for you? I told you at the beginning, I've become keenly aware of this window of time closing to pour into the lives of our boys. And so I've tried to prioritize some time to invest in their lives. The way our schedule works, the plan is on Friday mornings, I take Matthew out for breakfast. And on Saturday mornings, I take Malik out for breakfast. And we just talk. And so a couple Fridays ago, I came home from the gym and Malik was already gone with Petra and Matthew was there getting dressed. And I walked in the door from the gym and Matthew had everything done. His room was made up. His bed was made. His clothes were on. His backpack was ready. He was at the door ready to go. I said, Matthew, this is amazing. Like, you're all set and ready to go. I'm so proud of you. I was like, man, this is good. There's no drama this morning. He said, Dad, there was no drama this morning because you weren't here. And what is up with that? I don't think he realized what he was really saying. Sometimes children just utter things that, no, but I said, well, man, this is good. Tell me about how this happened. He said, Dad, I woke up this morning, I was in the bed, and I didn't want to get up. He said, but then I remember, wait, it's Friday. I go out to breakfast with Dad today. He said, so I got up and I rushed into the shower and I got dressed and that's where I'm ready to go, Dad. I thought, man, that is good. These little traditions, even when the night before hasn't necessarily gone well, even when there's drama in the morning, man, they remember. This is time to spend with Dad because we made it a priority. When we plan our time well, we're able to prioritize and pursue the plans that are in our lives. And for me, being aware of that window of time closing, I'm just trying to prioritize and be strategic about how we invest in their lives. What about you? How are you doing at prioritizing that time with God, that time with loved ones, that time with the people and the relationships that are important to you? And in verse 52, we find that Jesus says, "Go, your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is a troubling verse, right? Because there are some of you that are here this morning, you've been praying for healing for years. You have faith that Jesus can heal you. But there's this sense that somehow our timing doesn't always match God's timing. In the case of Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus gets the immediate healing. Go, your faith has healed you. And it almost seems like Bartimaeus gets the credit, right? His faith is what healed him. And so in our day and age, if you've been praying, and you've been praying for years to get up out of that wheelchair, to have your hearing restored, to have your sight restored, to have some chronic illness taken away, and it seems that God is not answering that prayer, you may begin to wonder, is this stuff true? Is there something wrong with my faith? Could it be that I'm the problem, or is God the problem? I mean, some of you, I know you've prayed prayers for years. You've prayed for healing for people, and then you've seen them pass away. You've prayed about situations in your life, and it seems like there's no answer coming from God. And the question is, what's going on, God? Why does Bartimaeus get the healing, and I don't? I just need you to know God's timing doesn't always match our timing. And the bigger issue in that story is that Bartimaeus continued to have faith in God. I'm guessing that Bartimaeus had prayed to God many, many times for healing. And then there was just something about this encounter with Jesus on that day, where Jesus that day chose to stop and to heal and made that a priority. And I wish that as a pastor, I could explain why everyone doesn't get the immediate healing treatment. You know, I can't. I wish that I could explain why it seems like some people get it and some people don't. And it seems like some people have to suffer for longer. I can't explain why that happens. No one can. But what I can explain is that God is good. God still cares about each of us in a personal way. No matter what the illness, no matter what the shortcoming, no matter what we're afflicted with, God still delights in all of us. He's the God that still makes time for those prayers. He's the God that still wants to minister to us in a very personal way. He's the God that still wants us to leverage whatever time we have, in whatever condition we have, to point people toward Him. And so I need you to just reflect for a moment today. KCC's been here 33 years. Jesus walked the earth for 33 years, and then He was crucified. And He told His disciples that greater things would come, that they would do even greater things than He had done. And what if God has greater things in store for KCC? The question becomes, are we in tune enough with God to recognize those divine moments, those times where Christ is wanting to break through and do something special, where He wants us to stop and serve others, where He wants us to prioritize the things that are important, where He wants us to pursue people the same way that He pursued Bartimaeus? Will we be in tune with that? And will we pursue it with passion?